Huh? Back to Berur and Yom Tov. Okay, if you have, let's say, cantaloupe, honeydew, you know, there's always the seeds in the, cut it open, there's the seeds. Okay, that seeds can be removed from the cantaloupe, honeydew, whatever, providing part of the melon at least will be eaten that day. If you're just doing it for the next day, obviously you can't do it. But that sorting is permitted on Yom Tov. The same thing if you have watermelon seeds, unlike Shabbos, where you're not supposed to take out the seeds. Let's see, the black seeds you shouldn't take out. But Yom Tov, you're allowed to take out the black seeds because that's the way you're eating it. And again, for Yom Tov, you're allowed to do that. Same thing if there's bones in the food, you're allowed to remove the bones. Providing, again, the fish or something will be eaten that day.
So nuts also you can eat on Yom Tov.
Nuts also you can eat. Again, the problem with the nuts is, again, two problems. Berur and muktza. Because later when you play with the shell, which is not edible, that applies to Yom Tov too. Muktza applies on Yom Tov too. Okay, now what happens if you want to take a fruit that's dirty, or whatever, grapes, apples, whatever, you want to wash them. So that's not a problem. Shabbos, you can only do it right before you want to eat it. But Yom Tov, you could do it for any time that day. But you can't put, let's say you have a bunch of dirty fruits, you can't put it in a bucket of water and that the dirt should separate from the fruit. That you can't do even on Yom Tov, because that's what's called Uvdin Duchel. You can take the fruit, you can wash it off. But to put a bunch of fruit in a basket or in a pan and soak it, that the dirt should come off it, that you wouldn't be allowed to do even Yom Tov. The same thing, what happens if some dirt falls into a drink? So in Shabbos, we discussed the whole thing, you need to pour it out. But Yom Tov, according to the Alter Rebbe, you're allowed to actually take out the dirt with a spoon. You could just take out the dirt or a fly that fell in or something like that. You'd be allowed to take it out just because it's Yom Tov. The same thing if you have meat that is fatty. So normally on Shabbos, it's best not to cut away the fat. It's best really to cut the meat away from the fat. But anyway, Yom Tov, you can just cut it off. It's not a problem. Another thing is, we said about Svarim. We mentioned before that the Melach of separation, sorting, whatever it is, applies not only to food, applies to anything. So what happens if you have a pile of Svarim in Shul? Okay? So, now you want to put them away. You want to put this Svarim away. You have a pile of Svarim by the Kiddush, right? People are too lazy to bring it to the bookshelf. So what do? They just pile them up on this Shulchan. That's what everybody does. So now you got a stack of Svarim on the Shulchan, and you want to put them away. So technically there's a problem of Berur. Because we learned even taking good from bad is only allowed for immediate use. You can't take good from bad for later use. So with a pile of Svarim, of different Svarim, if it's exactly the same Siddur, like if it's all this type of Siddur, that's not Berur, because it's one kind. You're not separating this, what?
Two types of Chumash.
Right, I'm saying. So this is for sure not a problem, even in Shabbos. And Yom Tov would be a problem if you have two types of Chumashim. But and Shabbos, Yom Tov is not a problem, as long as it's possible the Svarim will be used that day. Even if it's possible, because again, Berur and Yom Tov is mutter even later on during the day. Unlike Shabbos, that it's only allowed for immediate use, Yom Tov Berur is allowed even for later use. So if you want to put away Svarim, either that the room should look neat. I'll give you an example where you have such a thing. In the time of the Gemara, people didn't sleep on sit-and-sleep mattresses. Yeah, well, you're killing me, Larry. They didn't sleep on such mattresses. They had straw beds that in the morning they got messed up. So making the bed in the time of the Gemara was actually making the bed. They actually made, that's his expression, making the bed, because they used to make the bed. Okay, so on Shabbos morning when you get up, you couldn't make the bed. Because if you're preparing it for Matzoy Shabbos, for Saturday night, so if you're planning to make as they say in Yiddish, Chapa Dremel, you're planning to take a nap Shabbos afternoon, then you can make the bed for Shabbos afternoon. But if you're not, or let's say you get up Shabbos afternoon, you're not planning to sleep anymore, you couldn't make the bed for Saturday night because you're preparing from Shabbos for the weekday. Today, on the other hand, you wake up in the morning, your blankets are all messed up, you're allowed to make your bed today on Yom Tov. And Shabbos even. Why? Because you're doing it for the room to look neat. You're not doing it tonight to sleep. Because you don't need to do it tonight to sleep. It's going to get messed up anyway. Why are you straightening the bed? Because you want the room to look nice. So that you're doing for now. You're not doing it for later. The same thing with the Svarim and all that stuff.
I have a question about the Svarim.
But
okay, so if you take a bunch of Svarim, instead of choosing the book to put on the shelf, you take it by the order and you just put it on the plate. Is that considered also boring?
You mean if you take the top book?
You take the top book, put it on the plate.
The problem is they forbid it. Because it's still bated, even though there's a logic to say it's not bated. Because bated, by definition, means things are mixed. If I have this on top of this, I'm not selecting really. But the pus can still write its also.
And good, chapter.
What?
From the bad. You're selecting the good one, the one you want.
No, let's say I want to put them all away in the bookcase.
But then they're all good.
Yeah, but it's not for immediate use. That's the problem. Even good from good, because they're different, you can only do for immediate use, not for later.
You're cleaning up.
Yeah, but you don't have to, you can just take all the books and put it in the book. You don't have to order organizing this.
So now, if you want on Shabbos, let's say you're going to take three books to learn, let's say Tanya, Yom Yom, and Mamre, and you take it to the table, you cannot go put it back later on?
You could, if they're not mixed together. If this book is here, yes?
But you want
to 1 minute. If this sefer is here, and I finish using it, I want to put it back. That's not burden. It's not piled up. It's not sliced. See, each one separate. Okay. It's a separate sefer here. I'm just picking it up and putting it on.
If all the books are all spread out on the table, you could do it?
No. Because again, unless if they're...
So it's better not
but not
to
if they're get on top of each other.
They're not, no.
For instance, right now, if you take this Hayom Yom, put it away. This Tillum, put it away. This Sefer Mitzvah, put it away. That Siddur, put it away. That you could do.
Okay.
But when they're on top of each other, then it's mixed. And if it's mixed, you can do it. But Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to do it. The same, what do you want?
So you then put it on the bookshelf, and you want to make the bookshelf look nice by putting everything in order.
No, because it's not as messy as a bed. It's well, I'm just piled in a bookcase. They don't always match. Look at these bookcases. None of them match.
How should we do chumashim on Shabbos? We just do it every week, so everybody.
You just take the pile of chumashim and put them into the bookcase.
But it's better to take one book at a time.
You should basically go take all the light chumashim, put them in one pile, and then.
Yeah, if you do that, if you pile them in a way that you put all the stone chumashim in one thing, all the gutna chumashim in another thing. Then you don't have a problem because you're not. Then it's all the same thing.
How come you're allowed to sort for things that aren't food in the
open? No, it's food is not sorting is no sorting is no difference. The reason why it's because it's Seirich Yom Tov. Food, the melacha of Yom Tov, which is more lenient than Shabbos, it has to be for the need of Yom Tov, not food necessarily. You're allowed to bring a baby to shul in a carriage. No, hey, I've been saying Yom Tov, you can bring, it's not food. You're not planning to eat the baby. Sometimes you'd love to.
How can the Tzarek Yom Tov been out for Shabbos? The Tzarek Shabbos?
Because Shabbos is stricter. When the Gemara B'teich Shuhutra Havara L'Tzarek, Hutra Mishal Erzech. So Gemara says, they learn out that because it's mutter for the need of food, you're allowed to do it even if it's not necessarily for the need of food, as long as it's for a need of Yom Tov. The same thing, cutlery. Let's say you have a dishwasher, yeah, and your dishwasher finished before Shabbos, or Yom Tov. Now you have, you know, you put all the cutlery in the same compartment. So it's knives, forks, spoons, big spoons, little spoons, all that. So now you want to take them out and put them away. Or set the table. Either way, you know, the dishwasher is done, you open the door, no light goes on. No, nobody talks to you. The machine doesn't talk to you. And you just pick them up. And now you either want to put them away in the compartments or you want to set the table. That's a problem of Bayrid, because now you're selecting, they're all mixed. Knives, forks, spoons. So spoons from spoons is not a problem, even though big spoons and little spoons is a problem. But big spoons, forks from forks, knives from knives are not a problem. But nevertheless, you're still selecting forks from knives, from spoons, from each other. So therefore, you, on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to take out the stack of cutlery and put it into the compartment to set the table. The only way you would be allowed to do this on Shabbos, by the way, if you take this bunch, so it says in Halacha, does you take the bunch of stuff and you throw it out over the table, okay, and now they're all separated already, then you're not separating, they're not mixed together anymore. So then you take the fork and the knife, like we said, this book is here, this book is here, it's not a shalom bread. But on Yom Tov, you would be allowed to do it. But there's also a difference. There is a difference over here between if things are, we learned already, malachas are allowed on Yom Tov if they couldn't have been done before Yom Tov, or it's better tasting on Yom Tov. Look, why are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov? Because freshly cooked food is better than previously cooked food. Peeling. If you peel a vegetable, it tastes better when it's peeled than a day old peeled. Okay? But what happens if the cutlery was already ready, done for washing before Yom Tov began? So before Yom Tov began, the dishwasher is finished. And now you want to take out the cutlery. Correct? So on Yom Tov, you can't do it because technically that could have been done before. So, but if you do it with a shinui, we learned then you could do it. So like I said, what is the shinui? You take it out, you throw it out over the table. But if they were washed on Yom Tov, and Yom Tov itself are mixed, let's say Friday, Yom Tov night, you wash the dishes for the next day, which you're allowed to. Right? I mean, for the next morning. It's the same day, but it's the next morning. So then you couldn't separate them before, because you're washing them on Yom Tov. You couldn't separate them before Yom Tov. So then the din is, you would be allowed to separate them on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to, as long as they're going to be used later that day.
On Shabbat, could you throw them and do the thing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just make sure it doesn't land on the floor, because then you have to wash it again.
That means you have done it.
You've done what? No, it's just
many women tell their husband to fix the table on Yom Tov because it's already in shinui.
No, when they listen, it's a shinui.
Yeah.
Not when they. Okay, next malacha, which is a very common malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But we'll learn again the malacha, and we'll discuss the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that is grinding. One of the lamtas malacha is called teichin. In the Beis Hamikdash, they used to grind the spices. I mean, the herbs for the sammonim, for the spices that they needed. And also, they also, to make bread, they used to grind the flour. I mean, used to grind the wheat into flour. So, one of the lamates melachas on Shabbos is called teichin, which is grinding. Grinding only applies halachically to things that grow from the ground. Fruits and vegetables. Or mud, dirt, could apply to the grinding. I'll tell you in a second where that would apply. Things that don't grow from the ground, meat, fish, eggs, all that type of stuff that doesn't grow from the ground, there's no din of grinding.
Even
the Rabbanon? Even the Rabbanon. In other words, you could technically on Shabbos mash an egg. Even with an egg masher, you'd be allowed to mash an egg on Shabbos, even on Shabbos, because there's no mashing by non-growing food, whatever you want to call it, but things that don't grow. And Yom Tov and Shabbos, it would be forbidden. Therefore, for instance, on Shabbos, but there's another din that's important to keep in mind. There's no grinding after grinding. Halachically, ain't tchina after tchina. There's no grinding after grinding, which means if I have a cracker, which is made from flour, so it was already ground, right, when they made into flour is ground. I am allowed to take that cracker on Shabbos and crumble it into fine particles. Because the malach of teichen means, halachically, you take something big and you grind it into very small pieces. It's getting late, but Bechla will learn that when you make an Israeli salad, which means you chop it very fine, or you want to cut an onion, and you know, sometimes you cut the onion really, really thin, yeah, that's not allowed on Shabbos. That's part of grinding. Grinding, yeah. Grinding doesn't mean that you mamish make it into a flour. Grinding, part of grinding is the malocha of making something into small particles.
How about pepper?
So it's that 1 second. That's why pepper, if you have a pepper with a pepper mill, you can't do that on Shabbos. So that's mamish biblical grinding. No, pepper is a thing that grows from the ground, and now you're grinding it. Yeah, I mean, but even without a machine.
Can you would do it on Chag yet?
Huh?
Chag yet.
And Chag will learn that you could. But I'm saying we're now discussing the Melacha again. Okay. No.